So, looking at South Western Railway, how impactful have the cuts to the timetable been?
Well, they've massively impacted commuters, particularly on the Shepparton line. So, with very little notice and no consultation, a temporary timetable was brought into effect by South Western Railway early last week, which saw the Shepparton line, which runs through my constituency, but in particular affects those who use Hampton Station and Fulwell Station because they have no other options. They're only served by one branch of SWR, which is the Shepparton branch. They normally have a twice hourly service, and it was cut to hourly. And just days after these cuts were brought in, the guidance changed from government, whereby people were encouraged to go back into the office again. So obviously people are very concerned. It's making it much more difficult to get to work, to hospital appointments, critically to school as well. And, you know, generally the impact on quality of life is not great. The Shepparton line has always been notoriously bad in terms of level of service and reliability. Whilst reliability has improved, obviously the level of service is now going down. And so I and Councillor Gareth Roberts, who's the leader of Richmond Council, asked for an urgent meeting with the managing director of SWR last week, which we held. And actually, on that day, they had reinstated two of the peak services, one in the morning, one in the evening, that had been cut. And we got assurances that as their staff absences reduce and more staff are back in work, they will reinstate the line. But I don't have a definitive date as to when all the trains will be back on the timetable.
What have people been having to do in order to get around these cuts?
Well, from some of the emails that I've seen from constituents, they are using buses instead. So, for instance, they might say on the way home, they might get a train to Richmond and then get the R70 bus to Hampton. But then the buses are getting overcrowded. And obviously, you know, Omicron's in circulation and still spreading fast. And so there's concerns just about overcrowding on the buses. Obviously, there's traffic issues. There was another concern as well that Hampton Court Bridge roadworks are going on, and that, you know, with the traffic concerns there, that if people perhaps try to reroute and go to Hampton Court Station instead of Hampton Station, that's just adding to further congestion. I think for me, the key thing is this is just potentially going to drive more people onto the roads, you know, driving part way and using the train part of the way. Certainly, I know that happens a lot at weekends when the Shepparton line already only has an hourly service, even outside of the pandemic, on a Sunday. I just think in a suburban London rail, for a suburban London railway station and as busy as Hampton or indeed Fulwell, to have an hourly service, whether it's on a Sunday or a weekday, is simply unacceptable. It's something I have raised repeatedly since my election. In fact, I spoke about it in my maiden speech 2 years ago. And when Sarah Olney, my neighbouring Lib Dem MP for Richmond Park, and I held a debate in the House of Commons in October about some of the permanent changes SWR making to their timetables, I made the point then that whilst the Shepparton line was not earmarked for any further cuts at that point, if they were to go ahead and cut further, frankly, there'd be no service left. And this is why I was so alarmed that in the face of staff shortages, the Shepparton line was one of the first lines they sought to cut as part of their temporary arrangements. It's just not on, frankly.
Moving on to air purifiers in classrooms, how important are they?
Well, experts have been saying since early on in the pandemic that both ventilation and air purification are absolutely essential to cutting COVID transmission. We know that COVID is largely airborne. And I think it's telling that countries such as the USA and Germany invested in air purifiers in classroom at quite an early stage, or certainly many months ago, in order to try and protect face-to-face education, which we all know is is critically important, and none of us want to see any sort of widespread school closures again for the majority of pupils, as we saw earlier on in the pandemic. What I can't begin to understand is why we didn't have investment in air purifiers at a much earlier stage in the pandemic in order to cut transmission. So I'm really pleased that at least with this wave of Omicron, we haven't seen routine closures of schools. I mean, some have had to just because the staff shortages have been so bad, but I think they've been few and far between. But we know that there are many children absent from school because they're picking up COVID. We know that schools are really struggling with staffing. My own daughter's school, I know, talking to the head there, they're really struggling every week, you know, or day to day. There's you know, different members of staff going off sick. And we know that it's actually a relatively low cost measure in the grand scheme of things. Putting an air purifier in every classroom would cost around half of what the Prime Minister's spending on the royal yacht he's proposed. So it's compared to the billions we spent on the pandemic, to spend this to keep our children and our staff working in schools safe and keeping them in face-to-face education, I think is a very, very small price to pay.
You've been against COVID passes, and now they're here as a requirement. Do you think the time is right, considering the impact of the Omicron variant?
I've been opposing vaccine passports specifically for a variety of reasons. But most recently, the reason I voted against COVID passes in general was actually by that point, it was no longer an issue of whether vaccine passports are, you know, the right, you know, morally the right thing, ethically the right thing to do in terms of checking people's vaccine status. It's whether they're going to be effective in cutting Omicron. And we've seen time and again that and all the data shows that Omicron is very transmissible. Even if you're vaccinated, the chances are you can still pick it up or certainly pass it on. Therefore, if you're trying to keep a venue safe, being able to show that your vaccine status is going to have limited impact, asking people to take a test and prove that they're negative is a far more effective way of keeping venues safe. So I don't think vaccine passports in any way, shape or form, you know, should have been introduced in the first place in terms of access to domestic events and venues. They probably need to go. I mean, I still think in some cases there will be value in having negative tests, but vaccine passports have just proved to be utterly ineffective, and the data shows that in Scotland as well, where they introduced them much sooner than us. It hasn't encouraged take up of the vaccine, and it has done nothing to stop the spread.
Regarding Teddington Police Station, Teddington and Richmond on the whole is a fairly low crime area, especially in comparison to other areas of London. Does it need all of these stations when the Met is so strapped for cash in order to keep going without a massive council tax hike and it has to make cuts? Does this not make sense?
So we are very fortunate that Richmond is a relatively low crime borough compared to other London boroughs. That being said, we have had some pretty horrendous incidents in the borough in recent months, not least here in Twickenham when we had the fatal stabbing of a college student in September. Teddington Police Station was earmarked for closure some time ago. Given that we're meant to be expecting a boost in police numbers, I did lobby both the Mayor of London and the Met Police to try and keep Teddington Police Station open in some shape or form, not least because when you've got safer neighbourhood teams that are meant to be looking after Teddington and Hampton Wick, it's a bit of a nonsense if they have to spend quite a lot of their shift time walking from Twickenham Police Station to Teddington when they're meant to be doing local community policing. But the reality of the situation now is the Met has decided to close it. It's put it on the market. So given that we cannot keep it open, for me now, the priority is focusing on what happens with that site. And I have been pressing the Met Police, and I am also I've been lobbying the Deputy Mayor for policing, and I'm writing to Sadiq Khan as well, the Mayor of London, regarding the future of the police station, because there are, I would like to see it largely kept for a combination of both community use, but also if it's going to be redeveloped into housing, then I would like to see housing that our local key workers, our teachers, nurses, police officers, but also young people who are local to the area, who are often priced out of the area, being able to live in those homes. And I don't want the site just being sold off to another luxury housing developer, because I think we have enough of those sorts of developments, and that's not what our area needs. So I think it's a nonsense that we have public sector sites such as Teddington Police Station, where from all the discussions I've had, the police are going to be forced to essentially sell it to the highest bidder, come what may, largely because they feel they don't have enough money to meet their operational policing needs, but also because the legislation forces them to, apparently, so they tell me, which is why I am now picking this up at a national level, and I'm going to be pressing ministers on looking at the legislation again so this can't happen in the future. And in the meantime, working with a local GP surgery that would like to relocate there because they desperately need new premises, and trying to make sure that any housing we get on the site can be affordable and serve our local community's needs.
How desperate is the need for more key worker housing in Twickenham and across Richmond?
Well, desperate. Any school you go into or you talk to the local police, most of their people who serve our area can't afford to live in our area. And we know that lots of young people who've grown up in the area who are trying to get onto the housing ladder can't afford to because they're priced out. So that's desperate. We also actually have a desperate shortage of social housing. One of the biggest issues that I see in my inbox and in through my constituency surgeries is people who are in overcrowded and unsuitable accommodation who are waiting years to be rehoused. So you know, housing is a real problem, and we have very few sites because, you know, we're a beautiful borough blessed with lots of green spaces, and so where we do have limited sites that can be redeveloped, such as Teddington Police Station, given that it's already in public sector ownership, I think that, you know, public authorities should be thinking very, very carefully about how those sites are used and redeveloped for the benefit of our local community.
On that note, the Twickenham Riverside Trust claims the council hasn't demonstrated that the public interest is there enough to justify forcibly purchasing Diamond Jubilee Gardens from them. Do you agree with that?
Look, the Twickenham Riverside, the overriding message that I and from talking to local councillors that we hear from the public or the local community is that they want to see something done. It's lain derelict for 40 years, and we are desperate to see that develop for the benefit of the community and to help regenerate Twickenham Town Centre. I am not close to the nitty-gritty of the discussions with the Trust, but from what I understand, the council have been engaging with them proactively for some time to come to an agreement. And I think there is general disappointment that they can't reach an agreement. I don't think the council wants to go down the compulsory purchase order route. And they continue to try and engage positively and proactively with them. They've been offered a space that is bigger than their current site. And I think, you know, if you look at the plan as a whole for the Riverside development, it's popular. The consultation has proved that it's something that local people want. Certainly, you know, I and Liberal Democrat councillors and activists are out and about on the doorsteps in Twickenham, and the message coming back to us, to coin a phrase, is get Riverside done. So I hope that the Trust will continue to engage positively with the council and come to an amicable agreement rather than having to tie their hands.
How much is that the message? Because in the consultation, there's 311 objections and 226 supports. Is there a mixed message, as that consultation reflects?
Are you talking about the planning application?
Yes, the
because the wider public consultations. I mean, I haven't looked at what the responses have been to the specific planning application, but there has been there've been various phases of the consultation process, and certainly in the wider public consultation on the concept, the majority of responses that came back were in favour of the Riverside development. Now, obviously, a much smaller number are engaging with the specifics of the planning application, and generally, those who are opposed to a planning application tend to speak up as opposed to those who are in favour. But I mean, that's, yeah, I don't get involved in planning processes because it's a quasi judicial matter for the council, and that will play through the planning process. But in terms of the wider concept, I think largely, if you talk to Twickenham residents, they want to see something being done. The beautiful public open space that will open up for markets, for festivals, performances, and so on, will be fantastic. It'll help regenerate Twickenham Town Centre. It'll connect the river to the town. I think it's something we desperately need, and I'm keen to see it. And I'm really pleased that in terms of the housing that's going to go on there, 50% of it is going to be genuinely affordable, which comes back to my earlier point that we need homes for our local community.